Well, good morning. I do once again invite you to open your copies of God's Word to Mark chapter 1. We are coming to the end of the first chapter of Mark, and it is an eventful one. We'll be looking at verses 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And I invite you, if you are able this morning, to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. And the Word says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will. Be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing that Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter." Would you be seated as we pray? Father, we do love you. We think how wonderful it is to come here this morning together as believers, as your children, to honor you and to praise you in song and to pray to you, to lift up our concerns and our illnesses to you, knowing that you hear us. And Father, as we come now to study your word, I pray that you give us understanding, that you give us clarity, that through your Spirit it changes our lives. I pray that we don't just sit here and just listen to what is said, but we allow it to penetrate our souls, so that when we do leave here today, that we are made new, that we are new people in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1982, the NBC Evening News, Tom Brokaw reported that scientists had just at the national CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, had discovered this new deadly sexual transmitted disease. It was considered an incredible epidemic. At the time, and they weren't sure what it was exactly. They thought perhaps it was just a rare form of cancer. The only thing that they were sure of was that it was serious. Of course, this disease later came to be known as AIDS. And all the diseases that we face in our modern world, even the ones that we are struggling with at this very moment, none are really more dreaded or feared or stigmatized, really, than AIDS still today. In fact, its closest rival in the ancient world would have to be leprosy. And leprosy in its severest form is the most feared disease. It is, for the most part, incurable, and it is fatal. It devastates people's lives. It changes their lives. It has immense social and religious implications. And so Mark is telling us this story, and we come to this part of his story, and he very simply puts it that Jesus was going about and he was preaching the kingdom of God. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom, and he encounters a man with leprosy. He encounters this man and he heals him. Now let us kind of look back at the story so far that Mark has told us. We've seen some pretty wonderful things. Remember that Mark's purpose, his whole goal of his story, is to point us to the gospel of the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We see that in the very first verse, don't we? That this is the story, this is the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And Mark has been walking us through and showing us the Jesus' power and his authority. He showed this in verse 12, where he demonstrated his power over Satan. If you remember that, he was tempted in the wilderness, but he overcame that temptation, where he overpowered the temptation that Satan was throwing to him. We also see how he goes into a synagogue and he goes to preach and to teach the news about himself. The kingdom is at hand and you must repent and believe and repent. And those that were in a synagogue were amazed at his authority, amazed at his teaching. And while in that synagogue, remember again, we see his power and his authority over the demonic realm, the demonic forces, as he healed the unclean spirit. And then afterwards, as he goes to Peter's house to fellowship and to eat, we see him that he, with a touch and a word, that he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. So we've seen these miracles already just in the first chapter. We've seen his power. And the purpose of his miracles and the purpose of his power is always to help us, and at the very time to show who he was. But it's to help us fully understand and embrace who Jesus is. That's why he did miracles. That's why he did the healings, was to demonstrate who he is. These miracles are essential to for us to understand who he is and what he came to do. Because here, what he does, no man can do. No doctors can do. It is unheard of for a leper to be healed. So these are proofs of his supernatural and divine nature, and nothing more really would point clearly to who Jesus was, why he came, and the authority that he had than this encounter with the leper here. See, in the Bible, when you hear or see the word leprosy, it doesn't always refer to the disease that we think of. It actually, the word can speak to multiple skin disease, any infectious skin disease. If you read the Old Testament in Leviticus, it gives certain views of the skin disease and whether they what color they are, or whether they're spreading. They will diagnose whether it's harmful or deadly, or they need to leave. And all of this, all these skin diseases are technically referred to as leprosy. But we are helped out by Luke's account in Luke chapter 5 that Luke says that this man is full of leprosy. This is not just your everyday rash, a few bumps on your skin. This is to say that he was covered. He was riddled. He was disfigured, so that to anyone who saw him would know that he had leprosy. So this gives us the frame of mind. Luke helps us out here, and the whole context and the way that the leper reacts and how everything happens lets us know that this particular leprosy is what we normally would think of leprosy. We see movies of lepers. We see them wrapped up in bandages. They are losing limbs. It's really a disease that affects your nerve system. So you can't feel pain. Now, that might sound good to us sometimes. I'd, love to not feel pain. But pain is a blessing. It lets you know when you're touching something too hot. It lets you know when something is biting you. It's a warning system. It's a built-in warning system by God to help us. And so Leviticus 13, verses 45 through 46, tell us what was entailed for a person who was diagnosed with leprosy. The leper would have to go to the priest, and the priest would look over the person and diagnose him. And Leviticus tells us the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So as we look at that and as we read that, it's hard to imagine the humiliation that goes with that. The isolation that is encompassed in the life of the leper. They were socially unacceptable. They were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't participate in the religious ceremonies. They couldn't go to church. They were not even allowed human contact unless the other human was a leper as well. If they were to survive at all, it was by the charity of others that would leave food out, but they wouldn't dare go near them. They would keep their distance because it was so contagious and it was considered unclean. If the person was to touch them, they would become unclean as well. And even by the time of Jesus, the rabbis had even added more restrictions and regulations. Just as the Pharisees do, they add more and more to more works to do and more restrictions. For example, they made it illegal for you to even greet a leper. Even if you saw them at a distance, you would not to speak to them. A leper, when around others, was to remain 150 feet away if they were upwind, and 6 feet away if they were downwind. And it wasn't as the law, if the law was just being cruel to the lepers. They weren't just doing this for the sake because they can or because they had the power. But they were trying to protect the others. They were trying to protect the community, the Israelites. They were trying to keep them from being infected with the disease. But no doubt there was stigma attached to it. If you had leprosy, everyone knew it. No one wanted to be around you. It was feared and it was dreaded. It was not just an illness. It was a sentence. Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, even said of those with the disease that were treated, they as if they were in effect dead men. They were the walking dead. Another writer calls it a living death, and he equivalent the healing of it to be it's easier to raise the dead than it would be to cure a leper. So as we go through this passage, the leper is the main attraction. We do see that pop out to us immediately. It's in our first verse, in the first three words, "and a leper came to him." But there's things that we need to know about this man. And first thing that we should know is that he was in great need. Wouldn't you say that he was in great need? He was in great need. He was a man who needed to be cleansed of leprosy. Obviously, the word of of who Jesus was starting to spread, of this healer out of Galilee, that anyone who came to him would be healed. You can imagine the leper coming up with the courage to approach Jesus, that he had reached a certain point in his life where he had decided to risk it all. That I'm going to find this person and I'm going to ask them, beg them to heal me. You can imagine as he's approaching, as the leper came to him, as he approached Jesus, the commotion that it must have caused, right? Remember, these are walled communities. A leper is not allowed inside the wall, inside the community. They must stay out of the community. But here comes this leper running into town. And as we read in Leviticus, if he's coming into town, if he's seeing other people, he must be running through the town hollering, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine what everybody was thinking at that moment? People must have backed up and away from and being terrified of this person running through the town. Jesus is there. They're happy about Jesus being there and talking to him, and he's healing people. But all of a sudden, this leper is running towards him. Imagine mothers grabbing their children, right, and backing up from them, clearing the path. Bystanders gasping in unbelief that this person would be in town. Nonetheless, approach Jesus. Probably even people cursing at him. But it's easy to see that this man was desperate. So we see a man with need, and through that need, we see that he is desperate. He does not hesitate at all. He does not keep his distance. Despite the regulations, the restrictions of the rabbis, he comes so close to Jesus that Jesus can touch him. In fact, some would argue that the wording here in the original language was that Jesus was not the first one to touch the leper, but the leper was the first one to touch Jesus. That as he fell to Jesus' feet, that he grabbed a hold of his knees. This guy was desperate. So he came to Jesus. He was full of leprosy. He came out of his overwhelming, out of in this situation from he was in an overwhelming sense of personal need. He was aware of his need. He recognized his situation for what it was. The man was also reverent, so he was desperate. He was reverent. If you look at the next text right here, as I said, he came and he's imploring him and he's kneeling and he spoke to Jesus. So imploring is pleading with him, begging him. Now, I don't know if this was done and that he did this because he believed that Jesus was God. But the body language here indicates that he was doing it in a worshipful form. That he was going face down to Jesus' feet. That he was worshiping. That he was doing it in reverence. That it was in form of submission and honor. In Luke's account, he tells us that the leper approached him and called him Lord. So perhaps at the very least, he recognized that Jesus was from God. But there's a very reverent attitude and posture in which he comes to Jesus. He also has a sense of urgency, wouldn't you say? He knew that he was wretched. He falls at the feet. He prostrated himself before Jesus and began to beg him. There was an urgency about this. He knew that he was hopeless. He knew that there was nothing he could do to help himself. He knew that there was nowhere else for him to turn. He knew that there was no way out. No other person to whom he could go. Are you starting to put the picture together? I hope that as we read this, as we hear this, as we see his urgency, as we see his desperation, as we see his reverence, and as he comes and he realizes who he is and how there's that he is wretched and that he is unclean and that he is lost, and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus, that we are the leper. This is not just a story for us to breeze through and think of, well, we don't, you know, we don't have to worry about leprosy. Let's just get through this Sunday, Pastor. No, church, we are the leper. We look too that he has a sense of urgency, he is desperate, he is reverent. Along with those things, realizing his need, there's humility there, isn't there? Look at what he says to Jesus, begging him. Verse 40. If you will. If you will. It's a simple statement, but it's a powerful statement. It shows us that there was no doubt in this person's mind, in this leper's mind, of Jesus' ability. Other places that people approached Jesus, they approach him in a manner, if you can, you can heal me. If you can, you can heal my daughter. That's not how the leper approaches him. He has no doubt that Jesus has the ability. The question was not that Jesus is about Jesus' ability, it's about Jesus' willingness. The leper himself has no position to demand anything, does he? He truly believed there was nothing within him, that there was nothing worthy in him. Jesus was not obligated to heal him. But he literally laid himself at the mercy of Jesus. He knows that Jesus doesn't have to heal him, but this leper has profound needs. He approaches Jesus with faith, does he? Not. He says to him, if you will, you can make me clean. He has no doubt about his power. I believe you can do this. If you are willing, you can. Mark is really presenting to us what it means to be a Christian. Here is the very heart and core of Christianity. Authentic, real, genuine Christianity is coming to Christ on your knees as if as it were, and acknowledging his lordship, imploring him, begging him for help that only he can give, acknowledging our desperate need, our uncleanness of soul, and he can make us clean. Amen? There's no attempt here to persuade Jesus. There's no attempt here to bargain with him. He didn't bring him anything. He didn't have anything to offer him. There's nothing but total abandonment of himself to the mercy of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. That is what we need to do. Nothing else will touch the deep need of your soul. Nothing else can make you clean but Jesus. Oh, church, I was hoping you'd get a little excited about that. This kind of faith that obtains cleansing, it's what we all need. So this man had leprosy, a problem with the skin, but cleanliness goes a little bit deeper than that. It's not just having a good complexion, good skin. It's a heart issue. There's a reason why leprosy is not just healed, but it is cleansed. You see the connection there when we saw the demon-possessed person in the synagogue. He was uncleaned as well. This was not just a healing. This leprosy was seen in almost the same light as being demonically possessed. You had to be cleansed. So this is a cleansing is a heart issue. Leprosy is a picture of sin and what it does to us. It ruins our lives. It isolates us. It disintegrates us. It affects our body. It tears us apart. So the cleanness really has as a picture of sin. It has to do with our hearts. And there's many ways throughout our years that we have developed a good way to hide our uncleanness from ourselves. We change the names of our uncleanness. We justify and we blame shift. The reason I do this is because of this. Well, I'm just this way naturally because my mom was this way, my dad was this way. And obviously, there's some truth there. But it's uncleanness within us. The human heart is desperately wicked. And the first step in getting clean is this leper shows us. Is to admit that we're unclean. There was no hiding this, right? This leper was not going to, if he were to pretend that he was not a leper, that he didn't have any problems with his skin, that he was just fine. Oh yes, this is normal. My finger falling off. Yes, that's normal. No big deal. He couldn't hide that. There was no denying that. Everybody knew it. He knew he was unclean. We must see that we are unclean as well. Outside of Christ, we are spiritual lepers. You need to know how bad you really are. We need to see the depth of our depraved condition. We need to know that there's only one who can cleanse us, only one who can save us. And we're not so bad. We're never so bad that Jesus is not able. The leper was in a horrible, horrible condition. A dying condition. Everybody despised him and feared him. But he still knew if there was one person who could do it, that Jesus was able. We simply stand as a spiritual leper, begging, asking Him to give us what we desperately need. And that's what exactly the leper does. He says, I know what I am, but I know that that you are able, if you are willing. So we see a man with need. I would say the second point is that we come to is a compassionate touch. Jesus' compassionate touch. Verse 41, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Now this is amazing, and we'll get through this. The first thing I want us to look at is that he was moved with pity. That's kind of a tough word for us to look at. Pity doesn't always sound too flattering. But the word actually means compassionate. That Jesus was compassionate. That he showed compassion. We've already seen something of this, of Jesus' compassion last week. didn't we, when he reached out and touched Simon Peter's mother-in-law and he cleansed her, he healed her. That was in compassion. He lifted her fever. Here is Jesus' compassion again. It's the same word, actually, that Jesus used in the Good Samaritan parable. You remember that parable? That the Good Samaritan, there was someone that was robbed and he was beaten and he was left for dead on the side of the street. And others were walking on the other side to avoid this person. And there was pastors and deacons and elders and all these people just walking on the other side of the street, not ignoring the fact that this person was in dire need, that he was dying on the side of the street. But along comes this Good Samaritan, right? And it says the Good Samaritan was moved with compassion. He comes and he sees the need of the man. This man has been beaten and left for dead. He was helpless. But the Good Samaritan, in his compassion, rescues him. So we see Jesus' compassion, his pity, he took upon the man. Next we see that he really did something totally unexpected. He reached out and he touches the man. Now understand that this was something that nobody ever did. This wasn't the same as lifting up Simon's mother-in-law or touching her or anything like that. This was something no one had ever done. This was completely new. You did not touch a leper. The thought of touching a leper was unspeakable because of his physical and almost and spiritual uncleanness. It was contagious, but not for Jesus. Jesus touched him. And just as there's a no better picture really of our condition than the leper, of our need and our desperation as the leper, as just as there's no better picture of how sinners ought to come and run to Jesus as the leper, just as there's no better picture of how Jesus loves sinners, Jesus reaches out and he touches the leper. Who knows how long it's been since this man had felt the touch of another human? That's something, folks. The touch of another human. It's a wonderful thing. Now, we've been through a lot the last year and a half with COVID, and we've gone through quarantines. In Kentucky, we went through several quarantines. When everything first shut down, we were locked away for I guess it was a month. It seemed like 3 months. That the only thing that the only people we saw were our own immediate family. So it was just Casey and the girls locked up. I mean, in a tiny apartment, and we didn't see anybody else. We didn't talk to anybody else. The only kind of contact we had were each other. Well, after we figured out that my parents didn't have COVID and we didn't have COVID, we're like, we're going to Texas. They got a big backyard, plenty of room, can eat for free. So we go to Texas, and I remember it just like it was yesterday. And I get out of my van, and my dad's right there, and my mom's right there, and I shook my dad's hand. And he was the first person I had touched, you know, outside of the girls and Casey. And it was just, man, it was something. The contact of someone else that I had, you know, it we need that. And so when you think of that, the leper, how long has it been that he hasn't felt the contact even of his closest family? Perhaps he was a father who had not who once held his children close, or a husband who once romantically embraced his wife. Perhaps for years he had not even touched anyone until Christ. So in response to this man's desperate, urgent, reverent, humble state, coming to Jesus in faith, Jesus touched him and healed him. And I love this because ordinarily when something unclean touches something that's unclean, that thing becomes what? Unclean. It itself becomes unclean. That which is clean becomes unclean. But in this story, this wonderful story, first time in history, everything flips over, doesn't it? The cleanness of Jesus touches the unclean man, and the man becomes clean. The man comes clean once Jesus touches him. And he not only healed him with the touch, but also with his word. Look again at verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." He spoke to him. Jesus is the authoritative Messiah, and in his authority, that which he touches was unclean becomes clean. And in his authority, he speaks words, and the leper is clean. He is healed. He is cured. The healing wasn't a long process. It was sudden and it was complete. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. It would have been kind of cool to be there, right? To see this person made new, to see this person made whole. We don't know what this person looked like. He could have been missing an ear, fingers, tip of the nose, some toes. Who knows what that looked like when Jesus healed him and the leprosy left them? New fingers came, a nose came, new ear came. We don't know. All we do know is that visibly people looked at this and could tell the leprosy was gone. It's okay, I'll be amazed about it myself. It's an amazing thing. And now he's excited, right? He's been made new. He could go back to his family. He can go back to his friends. His mind was probably already flooded with thoughts of telling everyone that he had been healed. Excited, right? To run home and see the family. To tell his wife, "I'm home, honey, and I'm clean." He didn't think that he would ever be touched again. This man's life was completely and totally changed. But before the man did that, Jesus said something that was incredible. In verse 43 and 44, Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Well, that's not right. I just got healed. I want to see my family. I'm excited. I can come back to society now. And he tells him to tell nobody. Can you imagine that? He had been made whole. He just wanted to tell somebody. He wanted to tell everybody. But Mark gives us the reason, doesn't he? In verse 44, what is Jesus, what he says? He says, "First go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing that Moses commanded for a proof to them." So Jesus is telling him to fulfill what is required of the law. Leviticus 14, I encourage you to look at that and to read chapters 13 and 14. Leviticus makes a good devotion, I tell you. It requires everyone to have been cleansed and healed of leprosy to show themselves to the priest. The priest would come and look at the person and say whether they thought they were cleansed or not. Then that person would have to make a sacrifice. It was a whole process that they had to do. The priest would look at them and certify whether they were truly healed of this disease or not. Why is Jesus wanting him to do it? He says, doesn't he? For a proof to them. He's speaking of the priest. For a witness to them. Or better yet, a witness against them. You see, the miracle was a massive witness to the leadership of Israel. That this was a witness to the leaders of Israel that the Messiah had come. Up to this point, there is no record of Jesus healing a leper. There's no record of Moses or anyone in the Old Testament healing a leper. There's only two accounts in the Old Testament of a leper and that were healed, and it was done by God alone. It wasn't done through a human being. So it was a belief. This was a disease that only God could heal. And it's even shown a couple of times that God uses the disease in form of judgment. So Jesus was making a statement. He was saying, go to the priests, go to the leaders of Israel, and tell them the Messiah is here. Because they know only God can make a leper clean. There's no better picture for our sinful condition than this man, no better picture for how a penitent sinner should respond than this man. No better picture of how Christ loves sinners. No better picture of His ability and authority to cleanse even the worst of sinners than this man. And so we have a perfect symbolic illustration of the power and authority that Jesus has over sin itself. It's no wonder that the news spread so quickly and the crowds grew, that even more were coming from every quarter to be healed. And so he ends up where? Back in verse 45. But was out in desolate places. But he went out and began to talk freely. The guy got excited. The leper was so excited. And he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. I want you to see this, church. Stay with me. Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. Jesus and the leper changed places. Do you see that? They changed places. Lepers before were outcast. The lepers were living in desolate places, in the wilderness. They were in isolation. But after meeting Jesus, this leper, he was able to mingle freely in the city, wasn't he? Jesus started in the city. But after meeting the leper, he was isolated in the wilderness. In a desolate place. So Jesus took the place of the leper. We have to see the work of the cross here, church. As sinners, believers were once spiritual lepers who lived separate and isolated from God. But God provided a way of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. In order to do that, Jesus left the presence of God on the cross. Jesus was forsaken. He was rejected by man. But because He was treated as an outcast, believers have been accepted and welcomed into the presence of God. It was because of our disobedience He suffered. And those who come to Him in humility, in irreverence, in a faith, a realization of their own need, their own uncleanliness, and come to Him and fall to His feet and say, "I'm unclean," and ask for His mercy, He offers full cleansing. If you see yourself as a desperate sinner, the only one who has the authority to change you, to recreate you, not only is He able, but He is willing. Whenever you come to Jesus with a broken heart and eager for a fresh start and looking for God's mercy, He will always say, "I will." And it's only possible because Jesus has traded places with us. We get His cleanness and His obedience, and He gets our punishment. He becomes the outcast that we should have been. I encourage you, if you're here today and you are still a spiritual leper, not realizing your need, that you are unclean, I pray and implore you to not wait. Come to the Lord today. Implore Him. Kneel to Him. And ask to be clean. Because if you are willing, if you come to Him and cry to Him out in faith, if you are willing, you can make me clean. His compassionate reply will always be, "I will be clean." Let's pray. Father, once again, I do hope that I come to You in a humble, reverent and faithful manner. I pray that all of us as a church come to You. Not just on the initial time of our salvation when we realized that we were unclean, but I pray that as a church that we rejoice in Your good news and in the gospel, that although that we mess up and we sin, that we can always come to You, knowing that You are able and willing to make us clean. I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You, that hasn't trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they do so now. I pray that You draw them close to You. Help them realize their need for You. That You are the only one that can make them clean. It's in Your Son's name I pray.